If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, John chapter 19 and verses 28 and 29. As we continue in our series, Cries from the Cross, John chapter 19, verses 28 and 29. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word, and I pray you just show every single one of us here this morning how thirsty we really are. Thirsty for that living water, thirsty for you, thirsty for that Holy Spirit. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. 2,000 years ago, on the first Good Friday, after Jesus had been hanging on the cross for about 6 hours, he got thirsty. And then that happened. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series for Lent called Cries from the Cross, looking at the last seven things that Jesus said while he was dying on the cross. And today we look at the fifth thing that Jesus says, and that's about fulfillment. And to see that, we turn today to John chapter 19 and verses 28 and 29. In this part of John chapter 19, Jesus, the living water, asked for a drink. And in our text today, Jesus takes a drink so that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we need to drink of Jesus Christ, that living water, so that we can be fulfilled too. Our text this morning, John chapter 19, verses 28 and 29, tells us three things that we need to know about Jesus being thirsty and fulfillment so that we can be fulfilled like God wants us to be. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to know about fulfillment is that Jesus fulfilled His mission. And that's exactly what Jesus is showing us here in verses 28 and 29. And we know that because Jesus got thirsty. So by 3 o'clock on that first Good Friday, Jesus wasn't exactly posing for selfies. He'd been beaten, tortured, whipped with an inch of his life, nailed naked to a cross, and was fighting for every breath under a hot Mediterranean sun. Blood loss, fluid loss, sweating from every pore. He was in a state of shock and burning with fever and hadn't had a drop of anything in over 15 hours. So Jesus was experiencing hydration emergency and needed a drink like nobody's business. And why? Because Jesus was fulfilling His mission. Verse 28, knowing that all had been completed. What had been completed? The mission that God the Father sent Jesus to earth to do. All throughout His earthly ministry, Jesus always, always perfectly did every single thing that God the Father told Him to. John chapter 5, verse 19. So by 3 o'clock on that first Good Friday, Jesus had dotted every I, crossed every T, checked everything off the bucket list to fulfill His mission to give His life as a ransom for many. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. And the only things that Jesus had left to do was to make two more statements and then to actually die and give up the ghost. But to do that, He needed something to drink. He needed something to cut through all the dust and all the sweat and all the blood. So verse 28, Jesus says, "I thirst," that the prophecy might be fulfilled. What prophecy? Psalm chapter 22, prophesied by David 1,000 years before this, that described everything that the Messiah would do on the cross. And verse 15, His tongue would stick to the roof of His mouth. Fulfillment. Now, Roman soldiers used sponges from the Mediterranean coast to pad their helmets. So verse 29, the soldiers took one of those sponges, soaked it with wine, and notice, what did they use to hold that up to Jesus' lips? A stalk of the hyssop plant. And critics say, well, Kevin, the hyssop plant, that's not very tall. That's okay, because the crosses weren't very tall either. When the Romans crucified people, they didn't exactly hang them high. Because wood was scarce, and a cross only had to be tall enough to keep the person's feet from touching the ground. All through the Old Testament, hyssop was used to sprinkle the blood of the sacrifices in the tabernacle. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 4. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 22, the Israelites used hyssop to spread the blood of the Passover lamb on the doorposts of their houses to save them from death. So what's the message? Jesus is the real Passover lamb who was sacrificed to save us from spiritual death. So Jesus not only fulfilled His mission, Jesus also fulfilled all the prophecies about His mission, proving that Jesus really is the Savior of the world. But notice, how exactly did He fulfill it? Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 says, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed about that cup of suffering that He was going to have to drink. The cup of all the wrath and judgment of God poured out against the sin of the whole wide world. Psalm chapter 75, verse 8. And Jesus was going to have to drink that cup down to the very drop. All through the Old Testament, the Jewish priests were forbidden to drink wine or strong drink so they wouldn't be buzzed or have their thinking clouded in any way, shape, or form while they were on duty offering sacrifices at the tabernacle. And because Jesus is the greatest high priest of all, offering the greatest sacrifice of all, Jesus didn't want to be lit up either. So when Jesus goes to the cross, He's offered two different drinks. First, before Jesus is even nailed to the cross, it was the custom of leading women from Jerusalem to offer all the victims wine that had been spiked with myrrh. Mark chapter 15, verse 23. It would act like kind of a sedative and take off a little bit of the pain. So, before Jesus was even nailed to the cross, somebody tried to slip Him a Mickey. But notice Matthew chapter 27, verse 34. When He tasted it and realized what it was, He refused to drink it. Because if Jesus had not experienced every cubic micron of a millimeter of the pain of our sin and our separation from God with eyes wide open, our sin would have never been paid for. So Jesus didn't even want a near beer when He was on the cross. And notice it wasn't just that He didn't drink it, He wouldn't drink it. How many of y'all realize sometimes fulfilling the mission God has for your life doesn't just depend on what you will do, it also depends on what you won't do. But verse 29, when the Roman soldiers offer Him wine vinegar or sour wine or wine that's been left out and exposed to the air or diluted with water, Jesus does drink that. And what in the world was wine vinegar doing on the top of Mount Calvary then? Because it was a cheap drink. And Roman soldiers all over the empire drank it like Gatorade. And because it didn't have any alcohol in it at all, because the alcohol had already been all diluted, Jesus was not crucified under the influence. And He got just enough to wet His whistle to complete His mission. Just exactly like the Bible says. So Jesus is the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world, the living water, and anyone who drinks of Him will live forever. But Christians, listen to me. You've got to be careful. Because today there's all kinds of people, all kinds of preachers, all kinds of churches who are pushing a different kind of Jesus. All kinds of people, all kinds of pastors and churches preaching the so-called universal Christ. The stupid New Age claptrap idea that every single one of us is Jesus Christ. And what's the slogan for that Netflix series, The Chosen, about Jesus? Get used to different. A different what? A different Jesus? Are we looking for the right Jesus? Are we following the right Jesus? Are we drinking the right water? The pictures you see on the screen show President Donald Trump being arrested last week by New York City police after he was indicted by Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg for supposedly violating campaign finance laws. The only problem is those pictures are fake. Because President Donald Trump was not arrested by New York City police last week for supposedly violating campaign finance laws. Somebody just deep faked them and photoshopped them just to get it out there to cement it in people's minds, because people today think with their eyes that President Donald Trump really is a criminal and was really arrested even though he really wasn't. And folks, regardless of what you think of Donald J. Trump, that ought to scare the absolute living daylights out of you. How people today can so easily gaslight other people and create an entire narrative and manipulate people into believing that it's gospel truth when it really isn't. Exactly the same thing happened with the January 6th so-called insurrection. See all the so-called Trump supporters who are egging all the other people to go inside the Capitol building, like famous Ray Epps, And notice I could have brought a lot more pictures. Every one of the so-called Trump supporters had exactly the same kind and exactly the same color megaphone and bullhorn, like they'd had them handed to them. And notice none of the so-called cheerleaders and ringleaders were arrested like all the other protesters were. And when FBI Director Christopher Wray testified before Congress and was asked specifically if the FBI had any federal agents embedded in the crowd on January 6th to incite the mob, he refused to answer the question. Gaslight. We continue to see the gaslight when it comes to the vaccine. Last week, Senator Rand Paul was grilling Moderna CEO Stéphane Bancel about the vaccine. This is what he said.
Is there a higher interest or a higher incidence of myocarditis among adolescent males 16 to 24 after taking your vaccine?
So thank you for the question, Senator. First, let me say we care deeply about safety and we're working closely with the CDC and the FDA.
Pretty much a yes or no. Is there a higher incidence of myocarditis among boys 16 to 24 after they take your vaccine?
The data I've seen from the CDC actually shown that there's less myocarditis for people who get the vaccine versus who get COVID infection.
You're saying that for ages 16 to 24 among males who take the COVID vaccine, their risk of myocarditis is less than people who get the disease.
That is my understanding, sir.
That is not true, and I'd like to enter into the record 6 peer-reviewed papers from the Journal of Vaccine, the Annals of Medicine, that say the complete opposite of what you...
What that guy said was a flat-out lie. Because all kinds of studies all over the world are proving right now the vaccine is killing people, especially young people. In fact, in Scandinavia, Norway, and Denmark, and Finland, and the Netherlands have already banned the vaccine for people under the age of 50 because it is killing so many young people. Thousands and thousands of young people, especially young men, are dropping like flies all over the world right now because of the clot shot. But see, that's just disinformation. The vaccine's fine. So just line up, shut up, and jab up. Remember during the lockdown when all of a sudden TV news reporters started telling us about all this so-called disinformation floating around society and how we only needed to listen to them because they were the only ones who were telling us the truth? Remember when they said this?
I'm really proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But
we're not concerned about trying to get responsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false
news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish
the same. And you know why that happened? You know why they're all saying exactly the same thing? Because the parent company, Sinclair News, specifically scripted that and told them to say it. People, not one of us alive today has ever seen anything like this before in our entire lives. This huge, massive, evil brainwashing campaign to convince us that things are true that really aren't true. What did the Bible say? The number one characteristic of the last days? Deception. And folks, we've been seeing it in this country for the last 3 years at every turn. Let no one deceive you, Jesus says. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many. But you know what? I'm not buying it. I'm not swallowing it. I'm not going for it. I'm not drinking it. I'm drinking that. The real Jesus of the real cross and the real Bible who died on the cross and rose from the dead to pay the price for our sin. And I know that Jesus didn't lie to us and Jesus didn't gaslight us because Jesus fulfilled all 328 Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah and also fulfilled all 22 Old Testament prophecies about what the Messiah would do on the cross. So Jesus not only fulfilled his mission, he also fulfilled all the prophecy about his mission, meaning that Jesus can not only save us, but Jesus can help us fulfill our mission too. The first thing that we need to know about fulfillment, Jesus fulfilled his mission. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to know about fulfillment. Not only did Jesus fulfill his mission, Jesus fulfills us too. And that's also what Jesus is showing us here in verses 28 and 29. Because notice here, the living water got thirsty. On the cross, Jesus bore all of our sin and all our separation from God to save us from our sin. and to take those sins away. And notice, as Jesus was on the cross, as he's being separated from God because of our sin, he gets thirsty. Just like when we get separated from God because of our sin, we get thirsty too. But when you confess your sin to God and put your faith in what Jesus did on the cross to take your sins away and trust that Jesus got thirsty for you and thirsty in your place, he forgives your sin, saves you from hell, fills you with the Holy Spirit, and gives you that living water that wells up to eternal life. John chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus and only Jesus fulfills us for salvation. But not only that, Jesus and only Jesus fulfills us for life too. Because I guarantee you, there is absolutely nothing else on God's green earth that ever can or ever will. Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon, is the richest man in the history of the whole wide world. Has a personal fortune of over $400 billion. He makes $1 billion a day. He lives in a $165 million mansion. And he's on his way to becoming the world's very first trillionaire. And yet this is what Jeff Bezos says about everything he has. Even with all the money and resources I have, all the excess, all the assets that just keep piling up, I don't know why, but there's no real peace or satisfaction in any of it. Just this lingering sense of emptiness that's always behind it. Emptiness. Actress and underwear model Megan Fox, one of the most gorgeous women on the face of the earth, left her husband 2 years ago to shack up with rapper Machine Gun Kelly. So in love with that guy, she was drinking his blood every day. But last month, the two of them broke up. This is what Megan Fox said. After 2 years, my relationship with him was my whole life. And now there's this big void that nothing will ever fill. I feel so empty. And you know why? Because she's looking for something in another person that she can only find in the Lord. You know why that emptiness is there? Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. All things are created by Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ, including you and me. Every single one of us was created by God to know Him through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't change it. You can't help it. There's a hole in your heart that only God can fill. God created you to be thirsty for Him. Period. The only thing that can satisfy your heart is the one who created it. Which means if you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, if you don't know God through Jesus Christ, absolutely nothing in the whole wide world will ever substitute for that or make up for it or fill you up. I don't care what it is. The slogan for Snickers is what? Snickers satisfies you. Snickers doesn't satisfy you. I've eaten truckloads of Snickers in my entire life. Never satisfied me. All Snickers ever did was make me want more chocolate. It's only Jesus, the living water, that satisfies you. But see, instead of turning to Jesus Christ, people turn to themselves. The most famous painting in the entire world is Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa that hangs in the Louvre Museum in Paris, France. And it is so popular, people from all over the world line up to see that painting every single day. So many people, there are guards there now that limit how much time you can spend looking at that painting when you get your turn to the front of the line. But the crazy thing is, the vast majority of people, when they do get their turn at the front of the line, they're taking selfies with it. They're taking pictures of themselves with the painting in the background, wasting the precious little time that they have. Because see, it's not about the most famous painting in the world. It's all about them. Because everything is all about them. And the problem is God created us to worship Him. He didn't create us to worship ourselves. But that is exactly what America is all about today. Look at me. Notice me. Somebody pay attention to me. And what's the result? Americans have never been more lonely, more depressed, and more suicidal than they are right now. No Jesus, no fulfillment. Emptiness. There's people sitting in this church right now, listen to this sermon. Don't tell me that emptiness isn't in your life either. Don't tell me as you try to distract yourself from it by playing Roblox and scrolling on your phone, you don't get that sense. There's something missing. There's something missing. And I got to tell you, something is missing, but it's not something, it's someone. The person missing in your life is Jesus Christ. You were created to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. A relationship that you don't have because you don't have Jesus. Don't tell me when you shut the light off at night to go to bed and you're staying there staring up at the ceiling for those few moments before you zonk out. Don't tell me that thought does not come into your head. There's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more to it than this. And I'm telling you today there is. And His name is Jesus Christ because He is life itself. And if you would just drink that living water, you will find out nothing in the whole wide world satisfies you like Jesus because Jesus is the only cup that never runs dry. Jesus and only Jesus fills us up for life. But the problem is, instead of turning to Jesus to fulfill us, we turn to other things that give us a temporary high or a dopamine rush that don't fulfill us at all. And because of that, we keep doing them over and over again and eventually get addicted to them. Young people today are addicted to their phones. Just admit it. 80% of teenagers today go to sleep at night with their phones right in bed next to them like little teddy bears. One out of six teenagers is texting in their sleep for crying out loud. That's how addicted they are to their phone. Reuters tells us last year, one out of every three teenage girls in this country thought about killing themselves. One out of three. And you know what all those girls had in common? Number one factor, heavy use of social media. Get off the phone, get off the phone, get off the phone, get off the phone and turn to Jesus Christ and get a life. So let me ask you this morning, what's that addiction in your life right now? Because every single one of us is addicted to something that takes away the pain, aren't we? Maybe it's food. Kentucky Fried Chicken now has a bunless chicken sandwich called the Double Down. Two deep fried pieces of chicken with bacon and cheese. 960 calories, and that's without the sauce. You can hear your arteries slamming shut just thinking about it. If you've ever had a KFC Double Down sandwich, you don't need to worry what's in the vaccine. Maybe your addiction is porn. If you're using porn, you've got a problem with porn. Maybe it's drinking. Because if you're consuming alcohol, that alcohol is consuming you. And it's building up inside of you such a dependence, you're going to get to the point you can't even function without. I know a 42-year-old woman right now who has to take a drink before she even answers the phone. Maybe it's cutting yourself. Maybe it's binging and purging, puking up everything you eat. Maybe it's anorexia, starving yourself. I know a 15-year-old girl right now who eats two grapes a day. Two grapes. Maybe it's drugs. Hottest drug on the street in America right now is called Trank. It's animal tranquilizer. Look what it does to people. It turns them into zombies. That's exactly what the devil wants to use that addiction in your life to do to you. And folks, I know exactly what an addiction is like. I know exactly what it's like to not be able to stop doing something that you know is wrong. And the reason that we keep doing it over and over again and that we can't stop doing it over and over again is because that addiction comes from a power that's a lot stronger than you are. So that addiction builds up a stronghold in your life. And every stronghold has a strong man, and that's the devil, who is trying to use that addiction to take you out. But the good news is, Matthew chapter 12, verse 29, Jesus has the power to bind up the strong man and start tearing down that stronghold and start setting you free if you'd give Him a chance. Country star Keith Urban started out in the early 1990s struggling to get his career off the ground, struggling so bad he turned to drinking and cocaine. In 1995, he finally turned to Jesus Christ, and today he's a superstar with three Grammy Awards. This is what Keith Urban said. I did enough cocaine to kill 20 people and drank myself unconscious every day. But then I found Jesus Christ, and once I asked Him to come into my life, all the desire for the drugs and the drinking started to fade. And the closer I stay to Him, the less I want to do anything that gets me high at all. Jesus filled that hole in my soul and set me free. Praise the Lord! There's people sitting in this church right now. You're addicted to something. I guarantee you, you start drinking that living water, Jesus Christ, it'll get you a craving for it. And that craving will be a lot stronger for the fire water or the drugs or the porn or anything else. The devil tells you you can't change. Jesus says you can change today. Do we understand the power that living water has? And I hate to say it, but maybe God's got to take away everything else out of our lives to get us to appreciate how precious that living water, Jesus Christ, really is. The Bible says in the last days, in the great tribulation, Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17, the Antichrist is going to cause everybody in the whole wide world to get a mark in either their right hand or their forehead, the mark of the beast. That'll be somehow connected to a one world government and a one world economic system that they will use to control your buying and selling and how much you spend. And because of COVID and the lockdown, we know now that that mark of the beast is a digital ID microchip that can be implanted in your body. That can not only store all your medical information, but can also store all your financial information. And if you don't believe me, dozens of companies all over the world have already injected digital ID microchips into millions of people all over the world for the last 3 years, and they're still doing it now. And because of that, people can do that. They can pay for things at a cash register just by swiping their hand because of the digital ID implanted inside of them. And how is that going to let the Antichrist control everybody's finances? Well, March of 2022, Joe Biden signed Executive Order 14067 that essentially destroys the U.S. dollar and creates cryptocurrency, a brand new kind of currency. So your money is not going to be paper anymore. It's not going to be paper bills and checks. It's all going to be digital. On a file in a computer system overseen by the Federal Reserve and something called Central Bank Digital Currency. Over 100 other countries right now are also in the process of converting their money into digital currency. That's phase one. Phase two started last January when all the big banks, from Wells Fargo to MasterCard, started a six-month trial of using digital currency with other countries. Phase three starts this coming summer, when all of your so-called paper bill money is going to start disappearing into that digital bank black hole. And of course, they tell you your cryptocurrency is easier and more efficient and convenient and more sanitary than paper money. But what they're not telling you is that once that digital system's in place, they get to control every single penny you spend and what you spend it on, based on how well you toe the leftist line. Do you live in a red state? Do you own a gun? Do you drive a gas-powered vehicle? Do you believe in the God of the Bible? Are you opposed to the LGBTQ movement? And if you don't believe the right things and do the right things, according to them, all your assets get seized and you own nothing. And it won't take an FBI raid in the middle of the night. All it will take is a push of a button. So it's not about efficiency. It's all about eliminating their enemies. Gee, you think maybe that's why there's 87,000 more IRS agents who now have AR-15s and armored personnel carriers? And why there's now DOJ crypto enforcement teams to deal with all the malcontents? Catherine Fields, former HUD director, said this: if you can move every human being into a digital concentration camp, empty their bank account anytime you want, and tell them what they can and can't spend money on, you've got complete control. Folks, it's got the spirit of Antichrist written all over it because it's going to help set up the Antichrist system. And I know somebody's thinking, well, Kevin, how in the world is the New World Order ever going to get people to go along with this? Gee, I don't know. Maybe a few major banks crashing and burning and going under, like Silicon Valley Bank in California and Signature Bank in New York City, the second and third biggest bank failures in the history of this country that's put us in the biggest banking crisis since 2008. And what they're not telling you, according to Warren Buffett, 186 other major banks in America are this close to going under. And banks are failing all over the world. And because the Fed last week announced they were going to insure every penny of any American's money in any bank in this country, that giant sucking sound you hear is people pulling all of their money out of European banks and putting them in American banks where the insurance is better. So European banks fail. Chain reaction, all the American banks fail. And good night, Irene and Chee Chee Bug. You're talking total worldwide depression, total economic Armageddon, and fallen is Babylon the Great. So let me ask you, what are you going to do when some morning your bank account is totally gone and wiped out? Everything. Savings, checking, retirement funds, IRAs, all gone. Well, see, that's when the New World Order will come in and say, we can give you back all the money that you lost if you get a digital ID and you take your money back in cryptocurrency that they can control. That's phase four, the last phase they need. So the question is, are you going to do that deal with the devil to trade your liberty for a cheap promise of security? And remember, Revelation chapter 14, verse 9, there is no forgiveness whatsoever for those who take the mark of the beast. See how they're going to have people over a barrel? See how the Antichrist system is going to be set up even before the Antichrist gets here? See how much you need to trust Jesus as your Savior and drink that living water and get saved so you can get the heck out of here in the rapture even before the Great Tribulation starts? See what's coming? Soon and very soon, God is going to take away what seems to be the most precious thing in the whole wide world to most people, and that's their money. And then we're going to find out how precious Jesus really is. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Are you sure about that? You're going to choose your money? You're going to choose the Lord? Because your money can fund you, but only Jesus can fulfill you. The second thing we need to know about fulfillment is that Jesus fulfills us too. Well, in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to know about fulfillment. Not only did Jesus fulfill His mission, not only did Jesus fulfill us, but third, Jesus fulfills us when we drink that living water. And that's also what Jesus is showing us here in verses 28 and 29. Last February the 22nd, a 56-year-old retired policeman from Pewaukee, Wisconsin, named Scott McDonald, was found dead in the Grand Canyon after he tried to do a day-long hike to the Colorado River and back on the Bright Angel Trail. And you know why he died? You know what the cause of death was? Dehydration. How many people die at the Grand Canyon because they have no idea how much water it really takes to survive? And there's people listening to this sermon right now. You have no idea what kind of water it takes to survive either. If you don't drink water, you're going to die. If you don't drink spiritual water, that living water, you're going to die and go to hell. And then you're going to die over and over and over again forever and ever. You got to drink up that living water, people. And you can because it's available and because it's absolutely free. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, whoever is thirsty, let him come and drink of the free gift of the water of life. So wake up, wise up, belly up, and drink up. Drink up, people. Because have you noticed how dry it is out there right now? On the March 9th episode of that show Ghosts on CBS, one of the ghosts, named Elias Woodstone, gets a 48-hour weekend pass out of hell for good behavior. And then he says this about hell. Hell is mostly emails that should be Zoom meetings. Talk about making people blow off hell and not take it seriously. Don't tell me that show doesn't come from the devil. Dylan Mulvaney is a 25-year-old biological man and trans activist who plays like he's a 6-year-old girl named Eloise on his TikTok videos. Here's part of one of those videos that he does.
I am Eloise. I am 6. I'm a city child. I live at the Plaza Hotel, which is huge and wonderful and très elegant, especially at Christmas time.
That's a biological man, 25 years old. And because of those videos, he's gotten so famous, he's a social media influencer with over 8 million followers. He even got an interview with Joe Biden. And 2 weeks ago, on the Drew Barrymore talk show, this happened.
Thank you.
Oh, please. Do you want to know, ironically, who dislikes me the most sometimes?
Who?
Myself.
Oh, me too.
Oh. And, but...
Gag me with a wooden spoon! Folks, Dylan Mulvaney is an evil, despicable human being that needs Jesus like nobody's business. Because he mocks women and pushes the sterilization and castration and destruction of little children with that trans cult child grooming claptrap. And yet Drew Barrymore gets down on her knees like the guy's a hero. My God, what we worship and honor and glorify in this country. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 17. The wicked are parched with thirst, spiritually dehydrated, dying of thirst, and they don't even realize it. See how dry it is out there right now? This coming April the 1st. the insanity. Haunted House, right over here in La Salle, Peru, in the Peru Mall, is hosting a rotten egg hunt for kids at Easter time, where kids can, quote, hunt for eggs down dark, twisted passages while they themselves are being hunted by demonic creatures. Talk about trashing the true meaning of Easter. And folks, I want to know what in the world kind of parents in their right mind would take their kids to something like that. No wonder it's being held on April Fool's Day. See how dry it is out there right now? All over America right now, high school and college students are doing something called Borgs. Blackout rage gallons. They're taking a gallon jug, filling it with vodka and sweeteners and electrolytes that's supposedly supposed to help you the next day with the hangover, and they're chugging it. And young people all over America right now are being rushed to hospitals and emergency rooms and even dying from the alcohol poisoning. See the stupid things the devil gets people to drink when they won't drink the living water? Are you thirsty, Christians? Are you thirsty? Because it's drier out there than a Jehovah's Witness birthday party. Are you thirsty? Because I want to tell you today, too many Christians are not. Because too many Christians are drinking other things that are destroying them. One of the hottest things among evangelical Christians right now is something called the Enneagram. And you know it's a cult because the design was originally developed by a Russian occult artist years and years ago named P.A. Osinski, who claims that he got that design from a demon spirit during a demonic vision. And you can tell because what does that look like to you? People, that's a pentagram. And yet Christians are using these things to discover what their so-called personality type is with a corresponding number, and they're posting the results and their number on Facebook and social media. Folks, why would you use something occult to determine who you are? If you want to know who you are, it's very simple. Before you came to Christ, you were lost and hopeless and going to hell. Now that you've come to Christ, you're saved and redeemed and going to heaven. What more do you need to know? You want to know who you really are? You don't turn to the devil. You turn to Jesus Christ. People, that's not living water. That's spiritual rot gut. Too many Christians today having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. So they go looking for that power in other things. Crazy things. Christians all over America right now doing pilgrimages to the graves of famous Christian leaders and preachers and singers and musicians. They call it grave soaking because they get to that grave, they will lay on top of that grave trusting that God is somehow going to pass that person's anointing into their body from a dead person. Where do you see that in the Bible? Praying that God would give you the mantle of that dead person. The mantle that they had from a dead person. Where do you see that in the Bible? We got congregations right now where the people pray that angels will come out of the walls. I could go on and on and on. See, anything and everything but Jesus Christ. Amos chapter 8 verse 20 says, in the last days there will be a famine of the Word of God and a snubbing of the Holy Spirit. And don't tell me that's not what we're seeing in the church right now. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13, God says, my people have done a horrible thing. They have rejected me, the streams of living water, and they have dug out cisterns for themselves, cisterns that are broken and can't hold any water at all. Are you thirsty, Christians? You thirsty? Because I had to tell you, I'm thirsty myself. I'm tired of all the fads in the church. Now the latest thing is casting out demons. For crying out loud, we were casting out demons here at Fox River Church before casting out demons was even cool. I'm tired of Mick Church. Congregations building facilities the size of a shopping mall and sticking a sign out front that says, come to us because we do church better than everybody else. I'm tired of Christians who care more about March Madness than the madness going right on here in our own country. Amos chapter 6 verse 8, Christians who are not grieved over the ruin of my people. I'm tired of churches where people go in and sing just as I am and then they leave and go home just as they were. I'm tired of fake revival. I'm tired of revivals without any preaching of the gospel. I'm tired of revivals without any word of God. I'm tired of revivals where worship bands hypnotize sleep-deprived young people until they cry their eyes out, and they call that revival. Because there's a big difference between emotion and a real move of the Holy Spirit. Because revival ain't when you cry. Revival is when you change. I'm tired of Christians blowing their nose in cornbread and calling it pumpkin pie, and you see it everywhere. Psalm chapter 63, verse 1. God, you are my God. Early do I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I'm thirsty because I've been a part of real revival before and I am thirsty for it again. Back in March of 2014, I got a call to be the evening speaker at a revival conference at the Association Free Lutheran Bible School and Seminary in Medicine Lake, Minnesota, a little Bible college outside of Minneapolis. I was supposed to be the evening speaker. The morning speaker was a great Christian named Richard Owen Roberts, who had spent his entire Christian life studying about and preaching about revivals. He was even named after Owen Roberts, the leader of the famous Welsh revival. And Sue and I had been to the Association Free Lutheran Bible School many, many times. But when we got there in March of 2014, there was something different. Because the Spirit of God was in that place, the likes of which I have never experienced the Holy Spirit ever before in any place I have ever been in my entire life. And that's saying something because I've preached in all kinds of places all over the world. And you know why the Holy Spirit was so powerful in that chapel? On the campus of that Bible college, it wasn't because of some Netflix series called The Chosen. It wasn't because of some movie called The Jesus Revolution. It wasn't because of this massive ad campaign called He Gets Us. It wasn't because Kevin Garner is famous, because Kevin Garner isn't famous anywhere. Notorious maybe, but not famous. You know why the Holy Spirit was so heavy in that chapel during those meetings? Because those kids in that Bible college prayed their guts out. They prayed like crazy. They prayed for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks before that conference even started. Laying on their face on the floor of that chapel, crying out to God for a move of the Holy Spirit. When Sue and I walked into that chapel the very first day, March of 2014, 9 o'clock in the morning, there were young people in that room. But they weren't scrolling on their phone, and they weren't playing Fortnite, and they weren't door dashing for Egg McMuffins from McDonald's. They were on the floor, on their faces, crying out to God, and they had been there since 5 a.m. That itself is revival. How many of y'all realize if you want revival, it's going to cost you? Because if you want revival, you've got to pray for it. You've got to pray harder for that than anything you've ever prayed for in your entire life. Because let me tell you, the Holy Spirit only goes where He's really wanted. Lord, teach us to pray. Those young people prayed from the middle of the night, all through the early morning for the morning service. They prayed all afternoon for the evening service. And I preached a series at that conference about the altar of sacrifice at the tabernacle, a series called Don't Let the Fire Go Out. But honest to God, people, I could have read out of the phone book. Because the Spirit of God was so thick, you could have cut it with a knife. And if you've never experienced the real presence of God, if you have never experienced the glory and the holiness of God, the kavod, it's weighty. It's got substance to it. It pushes on you. So the only place you want to be is on your face, on the floor, in the presence of the Lord. And I preached every night. I would give altar calls. Dozens and dozens of people would come forward on their knees crying out to the Lord. And Sue and I would stay for hours and hours after those meetings was over talking to young people and praying with them and counseling with them. And all kinds of people got saved and all kinds of people got set free of all kinds of things. And that lasted for 4 whole days and 4 nights. No manifestations whatsoever, like back in my crazy charismaniac days. Nobody crawling on the floor, barking like a dog, or swinging from the light fixtures, because all that stuff can be fake. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, got the scars to prove it. And Sean Foyt didn't show up, because there was hardly any music at all. No wall of sound worship band, hypnotizing sleep-deprived young people till they cried and the snot came out of their nose. With 7-Eleven praise songs where you sing the same 7 words 11 times over to get kids to cry. None of that at all. Nobody from CNN or the lamestream media came to criticize it. Nobody took videos and posted them online and said, hey, look at us. No Christian kooks flew in from all over the country to try to take it over. Because what God did there was done specifically for the people in that place who had cried out to God and prayed for Him to do it. And the Lord was there. And the Holy Spirit was there. And people got touched and changed for the rest of their lives. People, I know what real revival is. I've seen it. I've felt it. I've been a part of it. I've led it. And I got to tell you, I am thirsty for that again. Because what God did at that little Bible college outside of Minneapolis, I want Him to do right here at this little country church in Illinois. And He can do it because the Holy Spirit is already here. How many of you sitting in this church right now came to Fox River because of our billion-dollar PR campaign? Or because of my bubbly personality? Or my movie star good looks? Or because of all my books on the New York Times bestseller list? Show of hands. Gee, nobody? You came here because the Holy Spirit brought you. The Holy Spirit is already here. This church has already had revival for the last 2.5 years. If people would just open their eyes and see it, whatever form God wants it to take, that's what it is. But I want more. I'm thirsty for more. I cry for it. I beg God for it. I pray for it. I'm thirsty for it. And not so that Fox River could be glorified, but that God would be glorified here at Fox River. And people would see God being glorified here and would be drawn to it and drawn to Him because of it. And I want God to take our stupidity away and our dumbness and our dullness and our stubbornness and our laziness so that we can be the kind of people that God has called us to be in these last days. Lord, will You not revive us again that we may rejoice in You? Psalm chapter 86, verse 5. I'm thirsty for it. Christians, how many of you this morning are thirsty? How many people thirsty? Every single one of you is thirsty. You know why? Because you're worn out. And you're tired out. And you're burned out. And you're dragged out. And you're dried out from dealing with the world. And your kids and your parents and your family members and your neighbors and your jobs and the things at school and problems with finances and problems with your health. We're dried out. You're thirsty. Doctors tell if you're thirsty, that's a sign that you're already dehydrated. You need water. Water is so vital and important for life. The Bible calls Jesus Christ the living water because Jesus is even that more vital and important for life. So you don't need any water. You need this water. You need the living water. You need Jesus. No fat, no calories, no additives, no preservatives. No sugar, no salt, no sodium. It doesn't have to be purified or ionized or distilled or reverse osmosis in any way, shape, or form. You know why? Because it comes, Revelation chapter 22, verse 1, from the pure river of the water of life that flows from the throne and from the Lamb. Bottled for your convenience at Calvary. You need to drink this water. You say, well, Kevin, I drank living water 25 years ago when I got saved. Yeah, but that was 25 years ago. And the problem is we leak. You need another drink. You need to drink that living water. We don't see prayers answered because we don't drink the living water. We don't see a move of God because we don't drink the living water. We don't have revival because we don't drink the living water enough. We fight with each other because we don't drink the living water. You've got to drink this water. And to do that, all you need to do is say the exact same two words that Jesus said on the cross today. I thirst. When Jesus said, I thirst, He got what He needed to fulfill the mission that God the Father called Him to do. When you say, I thirst today, God will give you all the water that you need to fulfill the mission that He's called you to do. Good to the last drop. Psalm chapter 34, verse 8. Taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Who's thirsty today? Who's willing to say, Lord, here's my cup. Fill it up and make me whole.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking.
you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you've never taken a drink of that living water at all, I guarantee you, you take one drink, it'll change your life forever. We're going to sing a last song. After that song is over, you need Jesus, you come forward. And we'll pray for you, lead you to Christ. You can walk out of this church saved and knowing that you're going to have eternal life with Him. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you just need a special touch from the Lord, you come up too. Lay hands on you. We'll pray for you. Pray that God would fill you with His Holy Spirit and fit you for the work that He's called you to do in these last days. I need no dreams, no prophet ecstasies, no sudden rendering of the veil of clay. God, just take the dullness of my heart away. That's our prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You so much for who You are. Just thank You, Lord, that You are that living water. Just ask and pray, Lord, that You would just use us in these last days. What You have done at Fox River, we praise You and thank You for. We pray for more. And Lord, whatever You want to do with what happens here, if You want to take it somewhere else, that's totally up to You. That's not our responsibility. It's Yours, and we leave that in Your hands. Just thank You and praise You for the blessings that You've given us. Lord, just help keep us drinking that water. Lord, there's an unlimited supply. All these things we ask in Your name, and thank You. Amen.